Dr. Furman, we had Cyrus Kambada and Robbie Barbero at our conference this year, and they both wrote the book Mastering Diabetes. And one of the main things they're saying is to avoid animal products and eat a whole food plant-based diet to lower your fasting blood sugar. And then when I asked Cyrus if you still have a fasting blood sugar between 100 and 120 and you're trying to get it down further, should you reduce plant fats, meaning seeds, nuts, avocados, and olives, is that the next lever aside from exercise and resistant training and sleep? And he said, yes, fat in general, much more for animal products, but also if needed for whole food plant-based fats, is interfering with the, I guess, the sugar going getting into the cells. So if someone is having fasting blood sugar between 100 and 120 and they're can't get it to go down, do you recommend they remove the plant fat from their diet, meaning raw seeds, raw nuts, avocados, and olives?
Absolutely not. So let me explain, okay? Because there's a mistake here in describing and using the word fat and using the word oil and not being more careful with what the studies do show and the difference between using almond and an almond oil. And the other part of it is that the powerful effect at increasing early life death by taking all the fat out of your diet. In other words, we have more than 50 studies, and published a paper in a couple, I think a year ago or 2 years ago in the International Journal of Disease Prevention and Reversal. The paper was called, let me see if I've written down what the name of it was called. Oh yeah, it was called Nuts and Seeds for Heart Disease Prevention. It had over 50 references demonstrating that when you don't eat nuts and seeds, you increase risk of both cancer deaths and cardiovascular deaths. So we need the fat is so beneficial to extend to promote human longevity. I've taken care of thousands of diabetics over the years that become non-diabetic, and they become non-diabetic in the first month. It's so fast how which they could become non-diabetic. Let me make the point here that yes, when you eat oil as a source of fat, oil is absorbed very rapidly into the bloodstream. I call it the caloric rush. And because it rushes into the bloodstream so rapidly, the body can't burn it for energy. It has to store it as fat. So it's storing fat in the cells that interfere with insulin resistance. It's putting fat in the body. It's storing fat that's distorting the insulin receptor. The fat you burn for energy and don't store that can't hurt your diabetes. In other words, when you eat nuts and seeds, with the right amount, not so you're eating over your basal metabolic rate, not so you're eating more calories than you need. You're eating, undershooting your calories. So because nuts and seeds are absorbed so slowly into the bloodstream, at let's say on the average of 1 calorie a minute compared to 50 calories a minute for oil. Now, the 1 calorie a minute, the body burns for energy. It doesn't store it as fat. And now we look at what do the studies show? And are there studies on diabetic patients seeing if we can improve their control by putting in oil, taking out oil, putting in nuts, seeds, and taking out nuts and seeds? And here's what the studies show, not just one study, but I'm saying there's so many studies that corroborate each other. And that when you keep the diet isocaloric, I mean, the diet is still the same amount of calories, and we take out some carbohydrate and we put in some nuts and seeds, you see diabetic numbers improve in all these studies. You see all of, because we're removing carbohydrates, so you're going to have less glucose being turned in, less of the carbohydrate converting into glucose, making for an insulin response. That works if the fat calories substitute for the carbohydrate calories and the fat calories are burned for energy. It doesn't work if your fat calories are stored as fat. So if you overeat nuts and seeds to the point where your body fat goes up, then Cyrus is right. But if you're, see, my body fat, for a 70-year-old is pretty favorable, but what we're seeing that people following a nutritarian diet are focused on the quality of what they eat and the quantity of what they eat. Because when the quality is high enough, they're satisfied with the right amount of calories and they're losing weight and lowering body fat. Now, as their body fat is going down, their insulin resistance is going down, and they'll better control their glucose level. So this person you're saying, whose blood sugar is between 100 and 120, the question is, what's their body fat percent? right? That's the most important thing. So Cyrus is right. His fat is inhibiting it, but it's fat, it's the body fat that's inhibiting. So can we adjust their diet so they still get their body fat lower, right? And their insulin resistance go away. And we don't have to take out all the nuts and seeds to do that. And I recommend my overweight patients who are looking to lose weight, and the diabetics still eat about a half an ounce of nuts and seeds with each meal for a total of an ounce and a half a day. And the reason I come out to that figure of an ounce and a half a day, it's because you absorb phytochemicals to prevent cancer from zero with no fat to 20 to 50 times as much when you include some fat with the meal. One of the mechanisms via which you live longer with by having nuts and seeds in your diet. But the other reason is because there's lots of data from the 7-day Adventist Health Study 2 on populations that are vegan and near vegan with different levels of nut and seed intake. And those had had a half an ounce a day was in the second or third quintile. The lowest quintile was like a quarter of an ounce a day. And the highest quintile was around an ounce and a third a day was the lower level of the top quintile. And in the top quintile, you saw a 40% reduction of heart disease and about a 30% reduction in all-cause mortality. In other words, so much longer lifespan occurred in the people eating more than an ounce of nuts and seeds a day. So much longer that to tell people to take out all the fat to reverse their disease is not really ideal for their ultimate longevity. And it's also making the diet, you could say, stricter than it has to be for good health. And that was the question, that was what I brought up in the study on nuts and seeds for heart disease prevention and reversal, that my life is a testament to all these people with advanced heart disease, 100% blockages, cardiomyopathies, heart failure, really severe patients getting well. And I've published studies on that too. I published a study called The Improved Cardiovascular Parameters in a Nutrient-Dense Plant-Rich Diet, Patients Surveyed with Illustrated Cases. So I've had my own experience, and I don't see the need or the purpose in reducing fat that low, because the evidence is overwhelming that it's not great for the person's long-term lifespan to cut fat back that low. And we can achieve that same benefit by moderately cutting back the fat and not reducing it all the way to nothing. You follow me?
By the way, I guess in fairness to Robbie and Cyrus, I don't think they actually said that the goal is to get to zero fat. They were just saying it's a lever to bring it down when you're having trouble getting your fasting blood sugar down. So I think they would probably agree that it's okay to have some amounts. But I guess I was pressing them to say, if your fasting blood sugar doesn't go all the way down, you know, would you keep reducing the fats? And I thought they were saying yes.
Well, there's two things, two comments on that. One is that, again, that when you are adjusting nuts, fat, we're talking about cutting back calories and putting some nuts and seeds in, not adding fat onto the existing amount of calories you're consuming. I want to make that clear too, because I'm supporting what they're saying as well, that if your caloric needs are 1,400 a day, we're talking about removing some other calories and putting some nuts and seeds in, not adding another 200 or 300 calories from nuts on top of it. And if you do that, if you remove some other calories and substitute nuts and seeds, then you get more weight loss, more diabetic benefits, and more lowering of blood sugar, not worsening, if you remove carbohydrate calories and substitute in fat calories. So we have to be, it's not necessary to cut fat back to an extreme. And I want to say that once you cut all the nuts and seeds out, your fat content of your diet is between 7 and 9% usually. So a plant-based diet with no nuts and seeds is still about 7 or 8% fat. With nuts and seeds, it's about 15 to 20% fat. So we're talking about being in that 15 to 25% fat window, not in the ones with no nuts and seeds, in the 9% fat window, just from the other foods. I wanted to make that clear as well. And
I was just going to throw in, for a time I was religiously entering my caloric intake and what I was eating in chronometer. And one of sprouted garbanzo beans would take my fat, my percentage of fat from 5% to 15%. So, sprouts also, sprouted legumes, like the sprouted lentils, sprouted peas, sprouted garbanzo beans, have proteins and have fats
Have some
in
fat
very large
too.
quantities. Yeah, they definitely have fat. So I think that if you're eating enough calories of plants, you're getting your appropriate amount of fat, like of fats and proteins. And I think the problem, with the seeds and nuts, Joel, when you say an ounce and a half, I can
Yeah.
inhale an ounce and a half of nuts in a breath. That's very small amount. And most people, once they get their hand in the cookie jar, are eating handfuls of nuts. So
I
the
don't, that's not what we
regulatory.
see. That's not what we see. We see, I've taken care of fat, tens of thousands of people, and we give them the recipes. We tell them a half an ounce of nuts and seeds with each meal. We
So they're measuring.
they're not snacking on them. They're part of the dressings or sauces or recipes into the meal plans that we're not supposed to be snacking anyway. But they're not putting their hand in a jar and just shoving nuts in their mouth. I mean, obviously there are people with see, we're talking about food addiction and taking people who habitually overeat and have them the ability to habitually overeat nuts and seeds. That's a problem. Absolutely. The food can be as a concentrated source of calories, but that's something we deal with intellectually, emotionally, and is an important tool. And not, even though people complain about that, if you eat nuts, you eat too many of them. It's not what we see. We see them, they feel satiated with less calories. They feel satisfied with the meal now, and they feel that the meal lasts them. They don't get hungry in between meals, and they wind up better able to control their caloric window when they have nuts and seeds in the meal as opposed to removing them completely. And one extra thing I wanted to say is that, with this 80-10-10 idea that you're going to be 80% carbohydrate, 10% fat, and 10% carbohydrate, as advocated by some of these extremely low-fat vegan gurus, is that my practice over the last 35 to 40 years, I see people on different types of diets, and these people on these fruit-heavy, fruitarian diets that are low in fat, I think it's because they don't get enough protein. Because don't forget, the nuts and seeds add a lot of protein and fat to your diet. And oil, of course, as you know, oil in the food takes protein out of your diet. When you're pouring oil on your food, you've just extracted 10 grams of protein from your diet that way, because you could have had nuts and seeds, which would put the protein in. But in any case, when you have these fruit-heavy diets, they do well in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, but as they age, they lose their hair, they get fungal infections, their teeth get weak. Their immune system gets weak, and they're increased risk of pneumonia. And I'm not seeing great long-term outcomes on these diets that are too low in fat and protein when people are on these fruit-heavy diets. They do well when they're younger, but not when they're older, when the body's, because as you age, the ability to assimilate protein goes down, and your immune system could suffer. You have neurological senescence, you have immunosenescence, neurosenescence, and of course, we lose muscle and bone too. But we want to do all these things right to keep the anti-aging. And I'm afraid that I'm concerned about this, that some people, in removing the nuts and seeds and eating too much fruit in their diet, are not going to get. Are going to do okay when they're, but then they're not going to do that well over the age of 80, 75, 80, 90. And that's what I've seen in my career, is that we're trying to design a diet style that's good for the children and toddlers, but also good for the elderly, which need a little more nutrition. And it's another reason why I recommend the diet I do.
Thank you. Doug, a lot of people are saying, I don't really know what you guys are saying. Why should we take lentils, chickpeas, and green peas and eat them raw and sprouted? Everyone is saying to just buy them, maybe soak them, and then cook them and eat them. Why in the world would we sprout a lentil, a chickpea, or green pea when we could just cook it and everyone says that it's great for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and part of it is you can just cook them and eat them. When you sprout a lentil per se, by sprouting the lentil, you are increasing the vitamin C over 300%. You're tripling the level of antioxidants, and if you go down the rabbit hole further, you're increasing the resistant starch that gets decreased in the process of cooking them. So the sprouts become this new animal per se that you get to eat with benefits. And also, if someone has a problem with overeating, which several people, it's much easier to eat the cooked lentils and the cooked beans that are flavored and sauced and broken down than by the sprouts that you have to take the time to chew them. And by eating them slower and chewing them, you will fundamentally eat less. And the natural occurring structured water content of them is beneficial. So I think legumes and beans are healthy, cooked, raw, or sprouted. My preference is sprouting, but you're speaking to someone who promotes sprouting, but is overall part of a whole food plant-based diet.
Thank you.